Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. I hope you've had an absolutely magnificent weekend. We're coming into a dynamic week of guests that we're going to be having on the show. And I don't know if any of you who are listening are interested in genealogy, but I have some very, very special friends that this has really become a passion for them, and they've learned all kinds of things about their families. Well, the gentleman we have today is quite an interesting person. His name is William Oedekerk. His book is called Tracking My Soul, A Philosophical Autobiography. Bill, I want to welcome you to the show. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, there you are, Bill. Okay. I want to welcome you to the show. Bill, when you decided to start writing about your family, you said that you were able, because of materials that had been left behind by your grandfather, Isaac William Oedekerk. He was born in 1871, and he kept journals, and you had them translated. Is
yes.
this what spurred you to decide that you wanted to put your own story together? Is that what the stimulus was for this?
Well, yes, that's exactly right. I collected his journals, or my sister did, and we transposed them into to a website, actually. And I read that, and I thought, wow, and I thought about it for about 2 or 3 years. And finally, I decided in 2002 to start writing my own journal. So I did that for 8 years, and that led to the book.
Now, you said you have a great deal of admiration for Eric Hoffer, and
yes.
who is another member of the family. You go into a little bit of that, but he really did quite a bit of writing as an individual. You found out some fascinating things about your family.
Yes, but now not through Eric Hoffer. My grandfather, well, how I found out so much about my family, when we were first married, my wife and I, hadn't been married 6 months, and that's 50 years ago now, a gentleman in Georgia, his name was Oedekerk, which was our original name,
mm-hmm.
sent us a request for family information. And this went on for 25 years. And finally, at the end of the 25 years, he offered a book for sale on the Oedekerk family genealogy, which we bought.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge book, not well done in the setup of the type and stuff, but about 5 years later, he offered the same book that was leather-bound that was over 500 pages.
Oh,
so we bought it, and it's become a family heirloom.
Oh, my goodness. Now, for people that are listening to this show, your book and the genealogy of your family, which I found absolutely fascinating, because so many times in our world today, we just take so much for granted. And in your book, you portray these different time periods within your family history and what members of your family went through. And it's as if you're right there with them. And when you think about everything that we're enjoying today as individuals, especially in the United States, it's this way around the world, we stand on the shoulders of the people that have gone before us, whether we like them or not. They have blazed trails. And so that's what I found so interesting about your book, was you have given such a tremendously interesting batch of information and history, And when you think about it, it is a demonstration of how one person makes a difference, how this person influences this other person. And there's sometimes a ripple effect that can encompass thousands of people, if not an entire nation. And it's really quite fascinating. You also have quite a bit of poetry, and I want to share your first piece of poetry that you have in your book called The River. It says, "We flow through life on a river of tears, created both bitter and sweet over many years. It blends with our being into wine that quenches all thirsts. We call it time. And as time is added to time, our body gives way until we are whole and it is clay." You're quite a poet. You do a very, very nice job with that. Let's go back to the 1600s with your paternal grandfathers. Now, that is quite a ways back. Is that as far as you were able to go with records?
Yes. He was an orphan from Holland, and he came to America. And we don't have the year down exactly, but it was right around 1650, 1655. And we have tried to get something on him in Holland, but we've come up to, and the gentleman from Georgia has tried for 40 years. And we think because he's an orphan, there is no history on him back in Holland.
So here you've got that. You've started off with that bit of information, and then you talk about the various relatives, and eventually there was a member of the family, your grandfather, who was born on April Fool's in 1809 in Hoosick, New York. Where is Hoosick, New York?
Oh, now you've put me on the spot. I'm not exactly sure. I think it's in southern New York, but I should know that, but I don't.
Now, you go into quite a bit of history about the Mormon Church and Joseph Smith, and how your family got involved with them. And give us a little bit of history about that.
Well, that would have been my great-great-grandfather. His name was Isaac. And he was born about 4 or 5 years after Joseph Smith was born. And they were, and Joseph Smith was born in Vermont, and when he was two, his family moved him down to New York near my grandfather. And then, of course, most of the world knows the history of Joseph Smith. He found the plates and wrote the Book of Mormon and all that. And he started his own church, and the name of the church originally was Church of Christ. And at that time, my grandfather joined his church. Later, it became the Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints. And Joseph Smith got in trouble in New York, over bigamy, and he decided to move to Kirtland, Ohio. And 2 years later, my grandfather and his wife and four young kids followed him in a wagon clear to Kirtland, Ohio. They built the first Mormon temple there. My grandfather became a bodyguard for Joseph Smith and was in the Mormon militia. And then briefly, they had trouble there again and were forced out. And briefly, they settled in Missouri, and there was the Mormon Wars and whatnot. That didn't last long, so I don't talk much about that in the book. But they ended up very shortly in Newville, Illinois. And there they started to build another temple, and they got to be larger and larger, and they actually had people coming over from Europe to join the church. And then they got in trouble there again. Joseph Smith got killed by mobs, so they moved to Council Bluffs, Iowa, as a staging point to go from there to Salt Lake. My grandfather was a wheelwright or a blacksmith. He was like an auto mechanic today. He fixed wagons and kept them going. And Joseph Smith left for Salt Lake, I think, 1847, and asked my grandfather to stay behind in Council Bluffs and and keep the wagons intact. And he did that for 5 years. Then him and his family went to Salt Lake. Left in the spring of the year, they left, and they didn't get there till September 28th. That just shows you how long a trip it was. And then he met with Joseph Smith again there and moved up to Ogden, set up a blacksmith shop, and Joseph Smith asked him 5 years later to go up to Idaho, Mount Pedler, with a lot of other of the faith, and establish that as a Mormon territory, which he did. And at age of 79, he was asked to go again with other people of the faith to Vernal, Utah, which is where I was born, over in the northeast corner of Utah. And the reason, it was about 25 years after they first settled Utah that they were asked to go to Vernal. And the reason it was for so long, Brigham Young had sent scouts over there 20 years earlier, and the scouts wrote back that it was absolutely worthless land, wasn't fit for anything but for native hunting grounds and to hold the earth together. And so after all the other good lands were finally settled as Mormon territory, Brigham Young started looking at the spots that he had set aside and decided to settle those. So he asked my grandfather to go there. My grandfather was 79 years old. Vernal was 250 miles from where he was living. So he put his family all in a wagon and 100 miles out in a place called Lone Tree, Wyoming, he decided to winter over because his daughter lived there, and there he died in Lone Tree.
And now, later, one of the things I wanted to stop and mention while you're talking about this particular period, the fact that I think it was pronounced Utah basis, or was the N dropped and it was just abbreviated to Utah, but it's U-I-N-T-A-H basis.
Yeah, it's the Uinta.
Uinta. Uinta. That's
Uinta
correct.
Basin.
There is a
Uinta Ouray Indian reservation there.
Uh-huh, and there was a little bit of justice for the Ute Indians because nobody wanted the land. They thought it was worthless, but it is loaded with oil.
That's right. That's right.
I think that is awesome justice.
Yes. Yes.
They're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yes.
But little did they know, because they were, you know, everything else had been taken away from them. Now, when you were researching this and you were getting all of this information about family, when you looked at it and you think of all of these generations that preceded you, and here you were born in Utah, how did this affect you? What kind of an impact did it have upon you doing all of this genealogy?
Well, I think the thing that affected me the most was this. I was brought up in this this Uinta Basin, and I left there. My mother and dad divorced when I was about 12 years old, and I left. And up until I started researching a book, I could not figure out for the life of me why anybody, because I knew we were from back in New York originally, why anybody would travel 2,000 miles and pass up many, many places where they had water and good soil and settle in a spot like Utah,
mm-hmm.
which was fit for sagebrush and jackrabbits. And by writing this book and getting the Mormon history, I mean, now I know why they settled there. They were trying to establish it as a Mormon colony.
Mm-hmm.
And it all made sense.
Mm-hmm. You also talked about your dad and
yes.
the pictures that you portray about the young people in the family. Then life was exceptionally hard. I mean, a young man and a young woman, when they were 12 or 13 years of age, they were literally considered adults. You had to pull your weight. Of course, people didn't live very long then either. And your dad, at the age of 16, was a part of the Pony Express. That's really interesting. Delivering mail by horse round trip each day. How long did the Pony Express last? Not very long.
Well, actually, I think I used the term the Pony Express, but I don't think the government officially recognized it as the Pony Express. I think that ended long before. But he literally worked for the government, and he had this this round trip every day between two towns that he did on horseback.
Mm-hmm.
So I use the term as probably the end of the Pony Express, which I think, actually, I don't know the history on that, but I think it ended way before that, really.
Now, your dad had a very interesting life because
yes.
He was here in the state of Washington. He worked on the very famous floating bridge that has gone through various adventures of its own here in the state of Washington. Was in Alaska. Then he joined the Army and spent most of the First World War in China.
That's right.
And you've got a wonderful story in here about your dad stealing a Chinese god. You've got to share that with my audience.
Yes. It's as I say in the book, it's not a piece of family pride, but it was very much a story of the family. My dad was just a private. He was 19 years old, and they had these little bronze gods that were all stood about a foot tall and very heavy. And the Chinese would have them at the burial sites of their dead in this special building just for that purpose. And my dad and his buddy went up one day and hiked, I forget how many miles, 10 miles or so, to the village. Because they were going on a scouting party to scout this out. And while they were there, the people treated him real nice and even showed him the burial building, and he spotted the ones he liked and whatnot, and they left. And a month later or so, they decided to take off at night, and they hiked down there in the middle of the night, broke into the thing, and stole these gods. And there was an alarm set. A bell went off. And the whole village woke up and started chasing my dad and his buddy with these gods in his backpack. And they were being shot at and everything else. But as my dad says in the story, as he wrote it, he says the guns were so antiquated that 100 feet away they weren't accurate. But they finally escaped and he got back with the gods.
Like I said, fascinating stories here. Isn't it interesting when you go through this? I have a friend who, when she was doing her family genealogy, found that one of her relatives, I think it was on her mother's side, was one of the few females that was ever hanged for aiding and abetting the enemy during the Civil War. I don't remember what side she was on, but we all teased her and said, well, that's where you got all your sassiness. I mean, it was passed along to you because you were a rebel with a cause from the moment you came into this world. And, you know, you find out about all of these different characters, and sometimes people say, oh, they're the black sheep of the family. But they're wonderful to talk about. There are so many things that go on in life, and too many times I think people pass out of this experience and their families have no clue about what they went through. And in the genealogy information that you have in your book, Tracking My Soul, I just think you have really done your family a wonderful favor, as well as anybody who would read it, because of this genealogy that you've discovered. And when we think about it, it really wasn't all that long ago, certain members of your family and what they did. You think of your dad being involved in a type of a Pony Express environment. That wasn't that long ago.
No.
I mean, look at how fast the technology and the things have changed since the 1900, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredible.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
You
one
have
thing,
a... Yeah, go ahead.
One thing about genealogy, I want to give credit to you women, because if you really think about it, I traced my genealogy back to my grandfather 7 times removed, and then I can trace every one of them all down through the 7th to to me. But that is only the men. Every one of these men had wives, and these mm-hmm. wives had their stories. So in reality, it's more a study of a name than family history, or as much a study of a name as family history.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like your little poems that you have throughout the book. You have a beautiful one on reincarnation, which I thought was very thoughtful. There's a life that lives in the sea that's a lot like you and me. The hermit crab, he has no shell, so he found a conch in which to dwell. The conch was an okay sight till a periwinkle improved his plight. Then a limpet, abalone, and snail. Life got easier with each shell, revealing more of life's detail and allowing him to mature as well. When old and wise, he would realize he was the crab, not its disguise. He yearned to be free and felt it near with no shell to interfere, to learn all shells were temporary, but for progress necessary, made reason for his struggle clear, and gone were centuries of fear. When I read that poem and I thought of all this that you had done, you obviously are very comfortable with the thought of reincarnation. Why are you comfortable with it? What are some of the experiences that you have had that make you aware of this?
I have tended that way all my life, and I have had experiences. In fact, I write about some of my experiences in my book about apparitions and things like that. And mm-hmm. where does this stuff come from? And I just can't help but believe that the Eastern philosophies have it right, you know. And I've done a lot of reading on this, and I guess I've biased myself by my reading, but
mm-hmm.
but well, I
think it's, yeah, I think it's good. I think it's
yes.
You have a very open mind about so many things, and mm. obviously are pretty well read. And your poetry is quite nice. Now, your family eventually moved to Seattle, but I was intrigued with how hard your mother had to work. I mean, today we go to the grocery store, we don't think anything about it. But during the summer, she did what I know my grandmother told me about what she did, and I've talked with many other women that are farm women through the years, and your mother put up 365 jars of produce so that you guys would have something to eat during the winter. Summertime was a pretty hard-working time, not just for the guys out taking care of crops and bringing stuff in, but the women having to make sure that they had enough food stored for their families during those winter months when they didn't have fresh produce, etc.
Sure, and, you know, and she did this without electricity, with no inside plumbing, with just a wood cook stove to do it all on. I mean, well, the Uinta Basin itself, especially when I was young, was 50 years at least behind all the rest of the United States.
Oh, my heavens.
I mean, we never had trains. We never had, you know, it was just, wasn't modern. I think what brought us up to date was the WPA programs and the CCC programs of the Great Depression, where we finally got electricity in 1937, and then we caught up with the rest of the world.
You have a nice poem in here. You call it the Lake Fork Ranch, Arcadia, Utah, and this is 1935. Mm-hmm. You say, I was born in Utah on the Lake Fork Ranch. I was lucky where you're born is chance. The walls of the house were mud and straw. Our chewing gum was the flat roof tar. I threw paper airplanes from the roof. At Christmas time, I heard reindeer hoofs. Throwing planes and chewing tar are facts. The reindeer might have been Brother Max. We got our water from a cistern's pail. A winter's trip to the outhouse was sometimes hell. We heated the house by the kitchen stove in the summer, played in the cottonwood grove. A 20-gallon tub on the kitchen floor was filled with water from the Monarch's reservoir. I and three siblings were scrubbed spick and span, then tucked into bed with a loving hand. Mother kept busy with her chores, even to scrubbing the rough plank floors. Basic values we were not without. The good of life was what it was all about. At times of no monetary means, we gathered frog's legs, pigweeds, and dandelion greens. Gathering food made me feel good, for I knew I was doing what I could. Remember this when you feel bad and unfortunate for what you haven't had. The most lucky by far are those who think they are. Very vivid description of a lifestyle that not a lot of people live today.
Yes, that's right.
Now, you ended up coming to Seattle, Washington, and when you first came into the western part of Washington, it amazed you because everything was so green.
That's true. That's true. I thought everything was, I thought the whole world was semi-desert like the Uinta Basin.
Now, you ended up, your mother and father divorced. You ended up with a stepfather whose name was Al Iverson.
Yes.
And that really had a big impact on your life. And you bring all of this out. You tell about all of this family legacy. And, of course, you met your lovely wife. And you went through so many different things. But living in the Pacific Northwest myself, I had to chuckle because what did your house cost, the very first house that you bought?
When my wife and I were first married, we moved to Fresno, California. We lived there 3 years. And the first house I bought was in Fresno. It was $10,000. The first house we bought in Seattle about 4 years later was $12,000. But, you know, everything is relative. My salary was relative, and the house payments was relative, so
you guys really did work very, very hard to be able to get that house.
Oh, very hard, very hard. But that's that's one thing that I can give thanks to my parents. They taught us a very hard work ethic. Now, I think I mentioned in the book, I had a speech impediment. Through all of my schooling years, I was a stutterer.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back on it now, and I was over it by the time I was out of high school, but I didn't realize that. And both of my brothers went on to college, but, man, I had enough of embarrassment. I wasn't about to go on to school. So I compensated by working hard. If I had it to do again, I would have went to school, but...
Mm-hmm. Now, there is, and I know we're running out of time here, but you had a man who owned a particular gutter company. You ended up having your own company after a while and became quite a successful man. But you, in your book, The Journey of History, and information that you give relative to your family and to yourself, and again, I think it's a phenomenal legacy for people to read through. It portrays a kind of life that America typifies in the minds of other people around the world. And that is that you were able to make choices. You were able to move to different places. You were able to choose as to what it was that you wanted to do. And that's something that in a lot of parts of the world, people do not have. I think that your book, Bill, is absolutely wonderful. Tracking My Soul, there's a lot more to it. I know we're just about out of time. You talk about the apparition of your father that you saw, the building of your business, the changes that went on. And there's so many other good things in there. I really think it's a very fine piece of publication. Now, Bill, do you have a website that people can go to?
As a matter of fact, I do. It's trackingmysoul.com.
Trackingmysoul.com. Well, if you want inspiration about doing your own family genealogy, if you want to know a little bit of history, Mormon history, anything of this nature, I think you'd find his book quite interesting. This is an independent thinker. William Oedekerk is his name, and that's spelled O-D-E-K-I-R-K. Tracking My Soul, a philosophical autobiography, is a good read. Bill, thank you so much for being my guest today. I wish you well in all of your future endeavors.
Thank you, Donna. It's been a pleasure.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in if you would like to chat with me today. Let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. It's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. This evening, I am going to be on live with Janice Wilson. We're going to be on blog radio from 7 to 8 in the evening. And if you want to get the link to the show, you can go into my website, DelphiInternational.com, go to the newsletter for this month, and under upcoming broadcasts and appearances, you'll find the link. It's incredibly long, so I don't want to have to give it out. So you can just go in there, make a copy, put it in on your computer, and you can listen to the show tonight from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. Now, you can call in if you'd like this evening at 646-652-4558. Also, I'm going to be doing a show on June 20th with Bipolar Radio with Susan and Bert at 11 a.m. in the morning. That is going to be on a Sunday. And that is going to be live also. And the call-in number for that show is 323-203-0815. And then on Sunday, June 27th at 5:30 Central Time, which would be 3:30 Pacific Time, I'm going to be on with Denise Barnes. And she is the host of a show called Differences in Nashville, Tennessee. This is the station WVOL 1470, and you can listen to the show. This was the original station that Oprah Winfrey started out on many years ago. And you can go to WVOL1470.com on Sunday, June 27th at 3:30 Pacific time, 5:30 Central, and of course that would be 6:30 East Coast time, and the call-in number for that show is 615-737-9865, and you can go into my website, check out my newsletter, and all of that information is there for your convenience. Again, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about you guys, baby boomer men, Barbara Kennedy. This is a book that was really something to read. And gals, if you're interested in knowing about baby boomer men, I think you'll be fascinated with what Barbara has to share. Then we're going to be talking with Hillary Smith about bipolar conditions. Welcome to the jungle. Hillary herself has experienced bipolar situations, and she has got an attitude that I just think is phenomenal. There's so little that's known about this. We know more than we have in the past, and she's going to give us some real insights there. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Karen Goody about the new book she's put out, which I have a part in that book, The Kids Who See Ghosts. There is a section. She did an interview with me, and my interview is in the book there. So I think if you like the stories of ghosts, you're going to be interested in this one. And then Barbara Max Hubbard, who is world-renowned for her work in the area of mind and metaphysics. There's a phenomenally wonderful movie called Visions of a Universal Humanity that we're going to be talking about, and this movie is just setting a precedent that I think is so positive and so good for our new shift that is beginning. Of course, there's been so many doomsdayers with 2012, and I want to say this is a whole different approach. This is a real insight into what is evolving globally in the thinking and actions of people around the world. So I invite you to join us. We're going to have a good time, and tell your friends, too. They just tell them they can have some wonderful information to share and also to be aware of for themselves. Janine Stern has a wonderful poem. I've got a picture of this magnificent cat, beautiful white chest and front legs, and it has a black mask like over its face. Just beautiful, beautiful cat with green eyes. This is a poem. She said, "Up and down the garden path, the patter of tiny paws glide as I gather clippings of baby's breath and roses with my cat by my side." Oh, it's summertime. It's time to be out there really enjoying all of the beauty of the warmer temps. Of course, I hope where you are, you're more fortunate than where we are. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we have had rain, and we've had rain. We thought we were going to need to get our kayaks out, maybe a Noah's Ark, just to be able to survive all this stuff. But it's past. The sun came out. We couldn't believe. We were blessed with sunshine for a few hours, and already the gray. Yes, I know. It comes with Seattle. The gray is coming in. Well, I'll tell you what. If you feel like you're getting a little bit under the weather, but I think many of you listening are in environments where the weather is beautiful and it's bright and sunny and it's warm, and I just so envy you at this moment. But regardless, wherever you are, you always take advantage of whatever is going on. And if you're a bargain person, I've learned about places to go shopping. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy going into thrift stores every once in a while. And I'll tell you, there have been some thrift stores I've been in relative to the neighborhoods that they're located within that have been absolutely unbelievable with the treasures that you can find. Well, apparently online thrift stores are hot stuff right now. Who knew? Well, I didn't, at least. Maybe you did. They have got all kinds of activities going on. So I thought I would give you some of this, because if you're a bargain hunter, I know there's a lot of people going through tough times, but you might be able to get some wonderful deals. You can go to gone-tomorrow.com, gone-tomorrow.com. Prices on items start as low as 50 cents. Or you can name your own price by submitting the lowest price you're willing to pay and see if they accept it. I mean, this is just amazing to me. There's a lot of copycats with what eBay started out with, and ShopGoodwill.com is another one. ShopGoodwill, you can bid on items in this massive collection they've got, And this entire collection comes in from donations from people. And I've been in places where antique chairs, cabinets, jewelry of fine quality. I mean, it's amazing what's given into Goodwill. Well, they've got it online. Also, there's at onser.com/thriftshop-sales.html. Let me spell that out for you. onser.com/thrift-shop-sales.html. Now, what is this? Antique items. That's right. You can go through thousands of unique antique items that have been listed by thrift store owners from around the globe. Who knows what you might come up with? People are just amazing. It is incredible what online technology has made available to us anymore. I mean, it's just absolutely mind-boggling. Be very wise, though, and make sure that if it's involving anything, don't make sure you can check and double-check whatever it is that they're offering. There's been so many scams. We've had some things that have happened up here in the Pacific Northwest that really would turn your hair gray relative to Craigslist and other things. Meanwhile, let's take a caller here. First name or initial caller, let's show you how it's done here on the Donna Sebo Show. Where are you calling from?
Tucson.
And who am I speaking with?
Marlene.
All right, Marlene, welcome to the show, and I know the sun's shining where you are. Do you think you could huff and puff a little bit and send some our way? We really need some here. All right. Marlene, what I'm looking at with you is attention to detail. I am seeing you breathing a sigh of relief. You are feeling like you're finally getting certain things under control, but you still have to have patience. You know how when you make up your batter for a cake, you got to put it in the pan, and you have to put it in the oven, and you don't dare open that oven door, because if you fool around with the other oven door, your cake is going to go flat? That's sort of a silly example to use, but it's one I want to give you relative to certain negotiations that you're going to be doing. Don't try to push it. Don't try to get a peek into what's going on. Be clear about what things are going to have to be, how you want to negotiate, and then allow the situation to rise and get solid. It's going to take some time for certain situations to evolve. And what I'd recommend that you do is that once you put the action out, get yourself focused on something else so that you don't have that, gee whiz, I wonder if it's really going to happen. What should I do? Should I give them a call? Should I do this, do that, to the other? No, 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 no. Allow it to have its own mojo. You go ahead and you get yourself into something else. I actually would encourage you, and this is going to sound a little different, I'd actually encourage you to have 2, 3, maybe as many as 5 proposals or projects going on at a time. That way, so that you can let the mojo of the one do what it needs to do, you can move to another, put your focus there, get that done, move to another. You'll always have something in the works. Always have something moving. And that is important. I wouldn't recommend 15 or 20. I'd say, you know, minimum 5. And that way you'll be able to keep your energy focused in the right way, in the right manner, so that you get things done. Also, be very careful when you're working outside. You may want to have some safety goggles on. I don't know if you're going to be working in a garden. Maybe you're going to help somebody in their yard or, you know, do some volunteer work. But be aware. I'm seeing something that could be considered a projectile, which sometimes can happen. Things will just split and suddenly fly up into the face. Make sure that you've got on safety goggles, and that way you won't have to worry about anything. I'm hearing this boom right up against glasses, so you need to be aware. Now, we have to take a break, Marlene. Will you stay with me, and then we'll get your question?
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Marlene, and you as well, if you'd like to give me a call. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. We're going to be going back to Marlene. Marlene, what was your question for me today?
Do you see me doing everything correctly for this lung infection I have? I've been to see the doctor. I've been given an antibiotic, and I'm still feeling somewhat improved, but very draggy.
Well, if you have a lung infection, you need to really get the lowdown on the medicine that you're taking and the potential side effects. And you need to be alert and aware to what created, you know, what was it that enabled you to become vulnerable to this? What was it you were exposed to? Don't be afraid to ask questions, because what you want to do is to determine how you can take care of yourself so that as you get through this. When were you diagnosed with this? About 2 weeks ago?
I've had it about that length of time, if not a little longer. But last week, a week ago.
All right.
That's when I was diagnosed.
All right. What I would say is don't play games with this, because you want to know what is the cause and you want to know what you need to be alert to. And I would say, make sure you're taking your supplements and do some homework as to what nutrients, when you're on the antibiotics, that you should supplement into your dietary regimen. Because sometimes medicines will leach out nutritional components in the body, whether you're taking it in through supplementation or through food. So talk to your pharmacist.
Okay.
And don't be afraid to ask questions of your doctor. And if your doctor isn't, and I'm sure your doctor is going to give you the information, but get the information and then talk to your pharmacist. If you have a pharmacist that you've got a real good connection with, I would encourage you to say, I'd like to have a few moments of your time. I've become aware of this. This was my diagnosis. This is what I'm looking at. I'm not asking you to become my doctor. What I'm wanting to know is, what are the potential side effects from the medicines that I'm taking? And what kind of supplements should I take that otherwise might be getting stripped out of my body? Because your pharmacists are chemists, and they can give you a great deal of information. I mean, when my husband was ill, and there's other people I've known when they followed this suggestion, it's amazing what they can tell you.
Okay.
But don't take this lightly, because you don't, being that it is something that is affecting the lungs, you want to make sure that you do everything you can to bring your lungs back into that harmonic balance that they should be. And rest may be one of the biggest things, but talk to your pharmacist.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in, dear. Donna Sebo here. Hey, how about a summer horoscope? Yeah, okay. Why don't we start off with Aries and Taurus and Gemini, and I'll try to get through this. We're going to be talking about a little bit about romance, family, money, career, maybe some travel thrown in there. Yes, we're coming up into summertime. So let's see what's going to be happening for those of you. I know I won't be able to get to, but just to a couple. Let's talk about the souls under the sign of Aries. By golly, you have got a lot of blessings in your home, in your home environment. And if you're concerned about real estate, maybe you're wanting to buy, maybe you're wanting to sell, just hang in there, because you're going to find things are going to be good on the home front. So be patient and count your blessings, every single one of them. You know, you have got in the J's of the year, June and July, marvelous opportunity. If you really want to advance your career, this is the time to invest in yourself. There is going to be opportunity, if you are prepared and ready for it, that's going to step up and knock on your door. So you need to be aware, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a person that's out there looking for a job, understand everything you can learn to make your skills better. If you really want to go into something that's your passion, it will be open to you. And, hey, vacation, by golly, you have a chance to see some new places, do some different things. And you know what I think is really special for those of you under the sign of Aries? You're really going to be taking some time for yourselves. You're going to be investing in you. Now, let's move along to Taurus. Yes, oh, you want to really make sure that you have a focus on family, and you want to have activities that are going to bring friends and family together. Great time for entertaining this summer. It is really going to be positive. If you're out there looking for somebody special, you've got a lot going for you, those born under the sign of Taurus. Money, career, well, you're going to have to work overtime to search for that new positioning or space or place. Now, if you're looking at investing money, do your homework, because you can make some pretty good choices. Also, traveling, I think you're going to be staying pretty close to home, but you know what? You may have an opportunity to visit some people that have invited you to come and spend time with them. Take advantage of that. It won't hurt your wallet, and you'll have a great time. Well, my goodness, we're already out of time. This is Donna. Hey, gals, we're going to be learning about the guys tomorrow with Baby Boomer Men. You're not going to want to miss it. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.